Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta
the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The church is one Jesus Christ.
Church news.
And
a lot of it.
From heaven he came and sought to be his holy bride.
Some of it's even good.
With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
This is Wretched Radio. Jesus loves the church. Therefore, you and I love the church, which perhaps serves as a good reminder. If you've been a Marlboro Christian for too long, riding out on the range of, I can do the Christian life all by myself, please come back to the ranch, find yourself a Bible-teaching church, become a member. And as long as I'm bringing up things to do, have you been baptized yet? It seems we've lost our emphasis on baptism, that if you are a believer, you've been born again, it's time to get dunked. It's time to get immersed in the waters of baptism because you'll be obedient to the first command of our Lord. So if you haven't, get her done, which actually raises a question that I didn't raise or answer in last week's sermon at Alpharetta Bible Church. Well, you know, there's time constraints, and I was looking at the clock, and we all know there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation, and I felt that I was kind of leaning toward the latter, so cut out some stuff like the question, should you be taking the Lord's table if you have not been dunked yet? Discuss. Here's the tricky part. You've got church history that would say you got to be obedient and get baptized. Then you become a member of the church with all of its rights and privileges, and that includes the Lord's table. But the Bible doesn't say that. It does show us in Acts chapter 2, when people got saved, lots of them, first thing they did, they got dunked, then they got added to the church. So we don't have a particular Bible verse that explicitly says you must be baptized before you take the Lord's table. But my question is, based on at least something of a pattern that we see in the Bible, based on church history, why wouldn't you want to? What is keeping this from happening? Why are you stalling and delaying on getting baptized? If you have not been dunked, please get that done too. And speaking of dunkers, Southern Baptist Convention next week, Jimmy Jam. It's always a good week here at Wretched Radio and the Southern Baptists get together. Actually, whenever there's a church conference, it's like, oh boy, probably lots to talk about as we unfortunately continue to see the Protestant mainline Protestant denominations just continuing to lean left to their own peril. They're just shriveling and dying. And it is interesting to me. Do you recall, I think we mentioned that this week, there was a New York Times video. I don't understand either, but it was a video. Tom Askell of Founders Ministries represented all Southern Baptists. And then there was a woman who apparently had been pastoring a Southern Baptist church for decades, and they were showing how wonderful she is. And well, they weren't unkind, I think, to Tom Askell. You know, they showed him, I think, as a loving grandfather, but they also showed him, you know, shooting guns and bows and arrows, you know, to fit the stereotype of we evangelical gun-toting Christians. Nevertheless, it was intended to emote people into siding with liberalism. And one of the lines that they used was, the Southern Baptist Convention in recent years has diminished in attendance or membership. And that's partially true. Part of the reason could simply be the cleaning of the roles. I don't think that that issue was addressed for a very long time in any denomination, including the SBC. You just let people stay, people who've been dead for a decade, still on the church logs. I think there was a great deal of cleaning up. Did a lot of people leave the SBC in recent years because of the issues of the role of women in the church? I don't think so. Personally, I think that they maybe have seen some attrition or slower growth. Now, they did add more baptisms, which is a positive statistic for the SBC. But this New York Times hit piece basically was like, they're losing members. They better get with the 21st century, because if they don't start allowing women to be elders, they're just going to shrivel up and die. The opposite is true. The churches that are maintaining fidelity to Scripture in every regard, they're the ones that are growing. It's the liberals that are shrinking. There are five big SBC resolutions. There's more, believe me. There's a lot more, but there's five biggies. One of them was, and I actually took the time to go read through them because I was most intrigued, not so much by the way that what the issues were, because they were pretty obvious. It was things like the morning after pill, abortion. There was men participating in women's sports. And then there was gambling. And I thought, wow, that's a subject that I thought we gave up on a long time ago, that we just stopped fighting that fight. But somebody at the SBC determined time to take it up again. And I have to admit, I was pleased that they actually sounded like Christian resolutions, that they sounded like this was something uniquely and distinctly Christian. Now, some of them, I think they could have been more robust, because I think that there should be no mistaking any sort of Christian proclamation that there's a sin out there that needs to be addressed. It should be very Christian sounding. Otherwise, we're probably no different than a political action committee. If we're not going to use Bible verses, if we're not going to identify things as sins. And so there was a fair amount of stuff inside of some of these resolutions that was about the practical, is that the right word? Practical effects of these sins. What is it doing to people? What is it doing to children? What is it doing to women? And I think all of that stuff has its place in a resolution. It sure seems to me that the biggest shout should be sin, that you're endorsing sin, government. Stop it. You're participating in depravity. Knock it off. Otherwise, your soul is in peril. That to me is a Christian resolution. So, but overall, that would just be an encouragement to the SBC. If you're going to talk on this stuff, make sure that nobody's confused. You are Christians, because nobody else can talk like Christians. And if any sort of proclamation, whether it's from the SBC or anybody else for that matter, if it could be spoken by a rabbi or an imam, probably falling a wee bit short. More church news. Calvin Robinson. Jimmy, this is a guy who's been a bit of an enigma, and I don't mean that negatively. It's just he's been kind of confusing.
Yeah, I think he has.
Because, well, he was in the, let's see if we can track this. He was in the Anglican Communion. No, he wanted to be in the Anglican Communion, and they wouldn't let him in because he spoke too conservatively on woke issues. So he left that, and then he became a part of like the Evangelical Catholic Church, oxymoron, in England. And then the next thing you know, he was like in Michigan or something.
Yeah.
And he was doing another thing with, I can't even keep track of it, the Reformed Episcopal Church. An Episcopal, of course, would be the American expression of the Anglican Communion. But apparently this would be a Reformed version of the Episcopal Church. I don't know if that really goes together well. Nevertheless, he issued a year-long Episcopal sanctuary and a temporary license to serve in word and the sacrament on May 5th. 9 days later, they revoked it. I don't know what's going on. I am concerned to have the Anglican Church of North America affiliated with a leader whose public comments and persona consistently fail to exhibit the love and grace of Jesus Christ. I've heard a little bit of this fellow speak. I think he always sounds gracious. I think it's the content of his speech. It's not the tone. It's not the attitude behind it. It's what the guy is saying. This is from the fellow who leads up the Anglican Church of North America, that he's not exhibiting the Christ-like virtues of peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, and love. Well, that's one way to shut somebody down. Oh, here it is. Got it right. Just in the nick of time. Pastor St. Paul's Anglican Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he had his license revoked. It's just, where is this guy going to land? He was rejected from the Church of England, and now he's getting booted out of the American expression of a Reformed Anglican Church. I don't know where this fellow is going to end, but I do think that there's a moral to the story. If you speak truth, even if you do it in love, which we are commanded to do, when people don't like the contents, they're going to say that's unloving. Be ready. If you are going to stand for the truth, you will be labeled as a hater. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you would like to contribute to the Thrown Under the Bus Fund, please contact Cornerstone Community Church in Simi Valley. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you listen to the podcast from Lecrae called Deep End, but wow, his guest Francis Chan, through his former parishioners, squarely under the bus. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like this. Don't know if you're familiar with Francis Chan. He was very, very popular in mainstream evangelicalism. His book, Crazy Love, was a bestseller. And he was pastoring a church in Simi Valley called Cornerstone Community Church. It was a mega church. I've been there. It was huge. And maybe, just maybe, this might be worth noting based on what Francis Chan is about to say. How many churches invite people to come and do an evangelism seminar? The answer is not many. Why? It doesn't draw a crowd. If you're a mega church looking to draw a crowd, you bring in like Christian wrestling or Christian strongmen or a Christian rodeo or motorcycle fest or whatever, not an evangelism conference. But Cornerstone Community Church did invite us to come and do an evangelism seminar. It was years ago, 2000-something, with Ray and Kirk and Easy. And as I recall, there were thousands of people. I actually started sounding like Francis there for a second. Thousands of people were there. And they listened to an evangelism presentation. With that as our backdrop, Francis Chan on the Lecrae program tried to explain why it is that he just up and left. It was a bizarre happening. This was a very big church, and he just quit. And he even said that he didn't have a call to go elsewhere. I remember this now. He didn't say, I'm going to this place because I was called, the transition, I worked through it with our elders, we've got a plan. Just one night, basically packed his bags, and he was done. Explaining it to Lecrae, he said, I remember one night telling my wife, I just looked at her and... Jimmy, I think my impression is starting to become a caricature. An impression can just go too far, and I think I am.
Okay.
I just looked at her, and a thought came to me. I go, honey, I feel like if the Apostle Paul or Jesus had a church in Simi Valley, mine would be bigger. You know, the meager accomplishments of Jesus and Paul. This is something. I would have a bigger church than Jesus because I know how to keep a crowd. They didn't. Well, actually, they did. But they didn't throw people under the bus. You start realizing, well, am I really being like Christ? And then I'm looking in the scriptures and I'm looking at what's commanded. Like, if God could have anything of a church, what is the main thing in scripture? Preaching of the word, people loving one another, doing the one another's, God being glorified, evangelism. That's pretty clear to me. He questioned then if the people in his church were loving one another as much as Christ loved us. Now, first of all, we can safely say, no, of course they weren't, because none of us loved the way that Christ loved us. But that's not really what he's saying here. He's not just implying, he's stating they weren't loving. Hold on. He continued. I'm like, that's not what I created. I got a bunch of people, thousands of people. We're playing church. Ooh. Oh, that hurts. Everyone in that church, the early church, had a supernatural gift for the body. And I'm thinking, okay, if I got 5,000 people with supernatural Holy Spirit, there's 5,000 with some sort of gift. And I don't know any of these gifts, and they're not being used in the church. Wow. Wow. It seems to me then, if that is the case, and I don't think it was at this church, if that's the case, then dude, You should have explained that. I have done a bad job shepherding. I have not led rightly. I have focused on the wrong things. I've simply worked on keeping a crop, whatever it is. But to throw former church members underneath the bus, there's maybe a lesson here for all of us. This is unsavory. We can do this too. You know, at my old church, those people, that is not the way that we should be talking about fellow believers. And we certainly should not use them as our scapegoat for just up and leaving. Another podcast that raised some eyebrows, although it shouldn't have, N.T. Wright, the Anglican bishop. He has a podcast called Ask N.T. Wright Anything. And the two questions were, why should Christians defend life from the moment of conception? And why should Christians oppose abortion and stand up for the protection of unborn life? Okay, I can do that. I could answer that one because they're image bearers of God at conception. And to terminate their life is something we call murder. Thanks for your call. Next question. This is a no-brainer, but he got into a muddled mess and he ultimately just revealed that he's pro-choice. That's all you can say about this. N.T. Wright, besides his woeful doctrine of justification understanding, he's pro-life. And I would expect that because once you're bending to the left, you got to keep bending. He described efforts to allow abortion up to the moment of birth as repulsive and condemned the idea of sex-selective abortions at the moment of birth as a criminal act and murder. Question, what makes it a criminal act and murder close to birth and, say, 8 months earlier? And the answer is nothing, because it's the same person. It is the same child. And whether you snuff out its life early or later, fully developed, partially developed, everything that makes a human is there at conception. Nothing gets mysteriously added later. No kid has to come out of the womb and get some sort of IV to fill them with what's going to make them them. It's all there at conception. He summarized his position on abortion by saying, in principle, this is not something which we should welcome. Interesting. It is not something with which we should collude. All right, let's just trade one sin for another. Instead of abortion, how's about molestation of children? Hey, N.T. Wright, why should Christians be opposed to molestation of abortion? In principle, molestation is not something which we should welcome. It's not something with which we should collude. You would say, in principle, how's about that's a wicked act? How's about that's a criminal act? How's about that is an act of depravity? And we stand fully against it while stressing there may be certain exceptions. Of which severe deformity might be one. And certainly incest and rape would be others. And there's N.T. Wright's position.
So if a child conceived has a deformity, God made a mistake?
Yes.
So it's not really created in the image of God and it's okay.
Well, this always is, the question is always, what is it?
Yeah.
And besides, what is severe deformity? A crooked pinky toe. That's it. Well, that's not perfect. Can we snuff out the life then? They don't have an elbow? What is a severe deformity? It's a human being. Quote, in those cases, I would say the sooner the better. Okay. Don't listen to this. Because at a certain point, and I'm not medically qualified to say at what point I would draw a line. Well, let me help you because the Bible does. That you are conceived, you are knit together by God in the womb. Your life begins at conception. You don't need a medical opinion. Now, if you want to go search out a medical opinion without using rather subjective criteria like size, level of development, degree of dependency, all of those which can be easily dismantled. Okay, so size, it's very small. I don't know at which point of development. Okay, a newborn child isn't as developed as a toddler, which isn't as developed as a teen, which isn't as developed as an adult. Which one of those do we get to kill? As if somehow size really is what determines what is an image bearer of God. And then, irony of ironies, he falls for the dreaded, men shouldn't be talking on these issues. Then why are you talking about it, NT? If men who say that abortion is a sin can't say that because we're males, then you as a male can't say it's not a sin because you're a male. He condemned the Roman Catholic Church's firm position against abortion, describing it as unmarried men from the Catholic hierarchy telling women who are victims of rape and incest what they can and can't do. That is part of the same system of male bullying, which we should avoid like the plague. Well, there he stands firmly. Ironically, if there's any bullying going on here, it's when big people take the life of little people. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis Newsbreaker production of Fortis Institute. The Biden administration's border policies continue bearing deadly fruit as ICE and the FBI arrested a suspected Al-Qaeda member who was paroled into the U.S. in 2023. The 39-year-old Russian national was arrested in Philadelphia after being declared a fugitive wanted for terrorist ties. Despite having no immigrant visa and being charged as inadmissible, he was simply paroled into the country and given a notice to appear before an immigration judge. Speaking of patterns, federal authorities also arrested Daniel Park in New York for allegedly providing 180 pounds of ammonium nitrate to someone who died bombing a California fertility clinic last month. Park was extradited from Poland after Attorney General Pam Bondi secured his return during a diplomatic trip. The attack targeted the Palm Springs American Reproductive Centers with a blast powerful enough to send vehicle parts hundreds of feet into the air. Meanwhile, LGBT activists have found their latest hate crime hoax, and it's their most desperate yet. They're claiming actor Jonathan Joss was executed by homophobic neighbors based solely on a Facebook post from his alleged husband, who turns out to be a trans-identifying woman he married just months ago. The post describes years of harassment, including neighbors displaying his dead dog's skull and burning his house down. Problem is, Joss himself admitted to local news that he likely caused the house fire by leaving a propane heater on. And this manufactured outrage gains a new context when you see how GLAAD defines hate incidents. Their latest report claims transgender hate hit a record high with 932 incidents, but the biggest category was protests. That's right, they're counting peaceful demonstrations by parents fighting for children as hate crimes. Speaking of inflated claims, the liberal enclave of Missoula, Montana just made the pride flag their official city banner, an apparent in around the state's new law banning political flags on government property. On the economic front, President Trump is finding Chinese President Xi Jinping extremely hard to make a deal with as trade negotiations stall. The Treasury Secretary says talks are a bit stalled after China violated its 90-day agreement by restricting critical mineral exports despite promising otherwise. Finally, in Arkansas, Governor Sarah Sanders is standing firm after CVS threatened to close all 23 pharmacies in the state over her new law targeting pharmacy benefit managers. These drug middlemen have created a monopoly that inflates prices while driving small pharmacies out of business. Sanders told the Daily Wire she will not let CVS manipulate and control the market and that other pharmacies are ready to step in. And that wraps up today's Fortis Newsbreak. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And Ham found himself in the news again. This is... Can I stop talking like that? I'm kind of stuck in that particular gear. This is Wretched Radio. AP doing a story on Ken Ham, Mr. Answers in Genesis. He spreads creationism a century after Scopes trial. okay, we're going down that well, are we? He's not alone. And they did the story about Ken Ham talking about Noah's Ark in Kentucky. If you've never been, you really should go. You will be encouraged. And I promise you, your breath will be taken away. I'm not kidding. Jimmy, have you been to the Ark?
I have.
When you pulled up, because you got to wind through.
Well, you know,
it's like back there.
Yeah, you don't see it until you really get on the bus that they take you back there from the parking lot. And it oh gosh.
And you pull up and it's like, whoa.
You just stand out there and stare before
you. There was an article maybe a week or two ago. I didn't bring it into the studio. But apparently some satellite pictures from space have identified in Turkey something that looks like about the shape and size of the Ark. Answers in Genesis, I think, does a thorough treatment of the subject. Should we expect to find the Ark? And their conclusion is no, because it would have rotted by this time. It wouldn't be something that we would actually be able to find. Nevertheless, there are some people reporting, I think we got a picture of it. Please note, we don't need satellite photos to know it happened. We have a more sure word. That's right. We have a more sure word than satellite photos and any sort of lab testing, any dating mechanisms to determine if God really did wipe out the world with a flood. What was that? There was a thing on TV. I can't remember. Oh, it was one of those, you know, those the History Channel or whatever it was. And it was a commercial, I think, for one of these nature shows. Billions of years ago, the globe was almost entirely covered in water. You're warm. Wasn't billions of years ago, and it was entirely covered in water. You can read all about it in Genesis chapter 6, a more sure word. AP News putting the spotlight on Ken Ham, who's not alone in believing that the Bible teaches us our origins. A 2024 Gallup poll found 37% of U.S. adults agreed with God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so. 37%. Not bad. I mean, I expected that to be lower, to be honest, but I would say this. If you deny something this obvious that we had to be designed, furthermore, this within 10,000 years, why is it that we just see all of this human productivity within, we'll use their timeline, the last 10,000 years. Why do we see writing and languages and legal documents? Why don't we have some that are like 800,000 years old? Oh, yeah, because the earth isn't that old. Let's go visit the Roman Catholic Church. They've got themselves a new pope, Pope Leo the XIV. He's an ecumenist, apparently. He held a special audience and talking about interreligious delegations, promoting both the ecumenical path and interreligious dialogue, above all, by cultivating interpersonal relations in such a way that without taking away from ecclesial bonds, the human trait of the encounter was always valued. Whew. May God help us to treasure his witness. So this is another pope, like Francis, who was an ecumenist, trying to bring evangelicals and Catholics together. But please remember, the Roman Catholic Church wants to do far more than bring evangelicals and Catholics together. The Roman Catholic Church desires that evangelicals would return to the mother. That's their preference. Even Michael Knowles will admit that, because you and I, apparently, don't have the full revelation of the truth. That can only be found in the Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church. Furthermore, the Roman Catholic Catechism makes it clear they believe that other people are underneath the umbrella of God's grace. That Muslims and Jewish people who reject Jesus nevertheless have a shot at heaven. Why? We need to remember it's because it is a works-based system. He added that the pursuit of full and visible communion of all Christians is one of his priorities as a bishop. That's right. Don't be and you know what? I'm actually glad for them that they desire that, because it indicates that at least the Pope believes he's got it right. I think he's got it wrong, but at least he's saying, yeah, this is the full depository of truth in the Roman Catholic Church. Turning to representatives of non-Christian religious traditions, Pope Leo XIV said, "Our common path, canon must be understood to involve everyone in a spirit of human fraternity." Well, that is just contrary to what Jesus said. If you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. He is the way, the truth, the life. According to the Roman Catholic Catechism, that is not true. And here's some good news for you. If you want yourself an apostolic blessing from Pope Leo XIV, you can get one now for the low, low price. According to the Catholic news agency, I'm actually not kidding. The cost of a parchment, this is for marriage. It is for baptism. It is for communion. You want to commemorate it in a special way? Well, you will be sent a parchment for the low, low price of $23 to $34, depending on the style, plus shipping costs, which vary depending on the destination. Here's what the article says. The first step, if you want yourself an apostolic blessing, is to select the occasion for which the blessing is being requested, such as baptism, marriage, or anniversary. Then choose the style of parchment, then enter the information that should appear on the document, and finally register the applicant, choose the delivery method, either local pickup in Rome or DHL Express, and make a donation by credit card. Only Visa and MasterCard are accepted. Almost sounds like a spoof, but it's not. Apparently, what you will get from this is a gesture of communion with the successor of Peter for the low, low price. Sounds like about $50. Maybe we'll get the job done. Maybe a little more than that. If you want that symbolic gesture of communion with the Pope. Can anybody translate what that means to me? Because I have no idea. Jimmy, do you know what that means?
Don't know what that means.
I don't get it either. Back to more church news. The most common reason pastors give when they leave the church. This is according to Tom Rainer in My Christian Daily. One reason: the church has grown as much as it will under my leadership. I actually get that. I don't like that, but I get that. Because when churches grow, I was talking with somebody. It was somebody. I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about church doctrines, church constitutions, church polity. And he said something, whoever this mysterious person is, one elder per 100 people, just kind of a rule of thumb, that you just need that in order to shepherd well all of the people that God is putting under your charge. So one shepherd, one elder to 100 people. Now, different churches handle this in different ways, and there's no specific biblical mandate as to how many elders per sheep, etc. But it speaks to the need for help as a church grows. A pastor, if a church is beyond 100, can't do it by himself. Just can't. Furthermore, I hate to say this, the dynamics change. It's just a different beast. It's a different entity. And I don't like the corporate comparison, but there is one. When a business gets to a certain level, you have to change infrastructure. You have to change procedures. You have to change mindset. You need an entirely new set of muscles in order to run an organization that gets to X million dollars. Same thing is true with a church. A church at 50 is way different than a church at 150, which is way different than a church of 250. And sometimes these men, they just say, I can't do it. And that's a possibility. And I don't think there should be any shame in that. If they recognize, you know what, I don't have the ability to lead something of this scope and this size, it's a bummer, but I do get it. Another reason pastors give for leaving a church: I'm spending most of my time putting out fires. That ought not to be. It's true, but it's just ought not to be. The guy is just constantly dealing with every single headache that arises. You need to spread the load around. If you've got a pastor and he's doing everything, you got a pastor who's in danger. Now, please note, there was another survey that I read. Not many pastors are leaving the pastorate. It's about 1.5%, if I recall correctly. I'm sure Lifeway had something to do with this poll. 1.5% every year. All right, still too high, but lower than I anticipated. But if you don't want your pastor to fall underneath that 1.5%, make sure he's not the only one doing everything. Another reason pastors give, your church needs to relocate, and he's not the guy to lead them. Could be. But might I suggest this? Rather than a pastor having to leave, how's about somebody in the body stepping up to take on that chore and lead it so that, well, you can have your cake and eat it too? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it. Use it. Share it. And then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of His people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How sober am I? Answer? Extremely. This is Wretched Radio. I guess I don't mean sober, because that would be, you know, like knocking back grandpa's old medicine or whatever it is you Southerners say about drinking. The moonshine.
That's it.
That's the deal. I'm not talking about that kind of sober. I'm talking about being sober-minded. I have to tell you, whilst we are always frugal here at Fortis Institute, received a letter, which I now hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers, that just straightens me up. And it reminds me, there is such a thing as a widow's mite. I have a letter that we received from an individual who has been giving to this ministry, who decided to give now. I believe it was in response to the Truth Unhindered campaign. We have a match giving campaign going on right now, matching dollar for dollar, so that we can close the store, give away all of our Bible studies, everything to churches around the globe, to people around the globe who can't afford them. We want to close the store and then just trust that our gospel partners will take care of the finances here at Fortis Institute. And this individual sent in her offering. Jimmy, mm-hmm. would you like to know how big this particular gift was?
$10,000. $20,000.
Yeah, well, okay. Are you done?
Well, you said the matching gift, so.
Oh, I should. You did math.
I did.
Jimmy.
Easy math.
Way to go, dude. 5 cents. 5 cents. Mm. Total lifetime giving to this ministry, $2.18.
Yep.
That makes me very sober-minded. And then in the letter that was received inside said, God bless you. God bless my friends in the Lord. Keep on for the Lord, my friends. May the Lord bless you always and forever. And may the light, sorry, it's legible, but it's a little bit of a trick. And may the light shine down on your ministries for many years to come. Keep on blessing people like me. Love, sister, and then the two initials.
Yep.
That'll do it right there.
You have something in your
Even app. Though my spiritual gift is being a cheapskate, this just reminds me this is a widow's mite. Every single penny is considered around here because we get it. We get it. It still is just staggering to me that people trust us enough to send their hard-earned money. So thank you, sister. And thank you to you if you have supported us, whether it's through the Truth Unhindered campaign or not. Please know we're very grateful and we respect your giving immensely. Would like to take you to a church of a different sort. Jehovah's Witnesses is, I think last week we were talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Maybe they were the ones that showed up at my door and I couldn't talk to them because I was on a Zoom call and it's like, oh, you're killing me. Could you just stay put? Right? Could you come back in 20 minutes when I'm done Zooming? Because, by the way, how do you engage with a Jehovah's Witness? A number of people actually responded to that also. First, what I was going to share with you was sent in by John. It's from the Watchtower documents. This is why we want to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. This is explaining you can live forever in paradise on earth, but how? Okay. So in other words, this gets right down to the gospel, right down to the doctrine of justification. How is a person made right with God? Jesus Christ's first requirement is the prayer that he said to his Father. This means everlasting life. They're taking in knowledge of you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent forth, Jesus Christ. That's that horrible Watchtower translation. That is not the way that verse read it. It's believe in the Son. Knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ includes knowledge of God's purposes regarding the earth and of Christ's role as earth's new king. See, this was a statement of equality in John chapter 17. So they have to change the translation to get rid of all of those clear presentations that Jesus Christ is God. I wish I had done this when I started preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. I suspect, I could be wrong, but 30 glimpses of divinity. That where Jesus does or says something where it's like, oh, that's a divine statement. Oh, that's only something that God can do. Oh, that's only something that God can say. It is all over the Bible. But of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have to change the translation. Here's the second way to live forever in paradise on earth, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Many have found the second requirement more difficult. It is to obey God's laws, and that's put in italics. Yes, to conform one's life to the moral requirements set in the Bible. This includes refraining from a debauched, immoral way of life. So in other words, you got to clean yourself up and you got to keep the laws. Otherwise, you won't be living forever in paradise on earth. A third requirement, oh boy, is that we be associated with God's channel, his organization. God has always used an organization. For example, only those in the ark in Noah's day survived the flood. And those associated with the Christian congregation in the first century had God's favor. Similarly, Jehovah is using only one organization today to accomplish his will. I wonder which one they're thinking of. To receive everlasting life in the earthly paradise, we must identify that organization and serve God as part of it. In other words, you want to go to heaven? You better be a Jehovah's Witness. That if you think that we evangelicals are like, hey, you're excluding Jehovah's Witnesses. They're really nice people. They exclude us. So this is a two-way street. The fourth requirement is connected with loyalty. God requires that prospective subjects of his kingdom support his government by loyally advocating his kingdom rule to others. That is why you see them standing out in the streets. They've got to go out there with their little display in which they never engage anybody. They just stand there. They don't, hey, did you get one of the, hey, would you like one? No, because that's not what they're there for. They're not there to evangelize. They're there to earn their way to heaven. The good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth. Therefore, if you want to go to paradise, you have to do likewise. It is for the reward of eternal life that every last person on earth should now be working. They are working hard now for the reward of eternal life. Have we heard the word work enough? Jehovah's Witness is a work-based religion. And that is where I would press in. Because if you do engage a Jehovah's Witness, you know, you're going to be chasing your tail. And you're just going to find yourself just dizzied by it. Well, but no, but that's not the right translation. And that's not the... So if you are going to engage a Jehovah's Witness, somebody sent this in, and I've actually said this for years. Go straight to their conscience. Go right to their conscience. Go right to the gospel of complete forgiveness of sins through the work of Jesus Christ. Press in. Don't you feel exhausted, my Jehovah's Witness friend? Are you sure you've been doing enough? Wouldn't it be nice to know that your debt can be paid in full by Jesus Christ and you can be credited with his righteousness? This is amazing news. I sure hope you discover it someday, because right now you're working your way to heaven, and good luck with that. Would you like to know how your sins can be forgiven? Well, there's a number of Bible verses that I would point you to, but maybe we should use our translation. What is the name of the Jehovah's Witness translation?
It's the New World Translation.
New World Translation. Yeah, that's a problem.
I was just going to say, you know why they would have never come back to your house, those that came to your door? They would have never come back and visited because they fulfilled their requirement just by coming.
That's it.
Yep.
That's all it is. Besides that, what they were presented with when I opened the door was not pretty. I'll be real honest with you. There are some days that I choose to work from home. Frio, we didn't ask about your habits. It basically works like this. I get up, stagger to the kitchen, and pour myself a cup of coffee, tote myself up to my office, and that's where I sit for the next however many hours. Don't brush my teeth. Don't comb my hair. Don't shower. You can get away with that these days. So ding dong, there I am. I open up the door and I open. Look like one of those TV dads in a sitcom. The only thing I was missing was like a half-smoked cigar and a bottle of beer in my hand. Hey, Jehovah's Witness, what are you up to these days? So they were probably not wanting to come back for that reason to boot. But if you're going to engage with them, please keep it simple. Keep it focused on one thing. Get to their conscience. Let fear be the alarm that wakes them up to the truth. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough. You need the divine God-man, Jesus Christ. You need him. And despite what your very poor translation says, you have one in Jesus Christ alone. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.